Okay, we've been on the Holy Spirit, and we're going to stay on the Holy Spirit today, enforcing some things, but we're going to be talking about some of the connections that we can make in life because of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say some things to some people that may be offensive. And if you're on YouTube and you get offended, you just need to stay on. Don't flick me off, okay? I didn't say tick, I said click. Don't click me off. Just because you heard something, because the words that I speak are spirit and life because they're the words of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, John 16:7, our base verse. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it's profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Amplified version. Jesus speaking those words. One translation says, it's expedient for you that I go away, because if I don't go, he ain't coming. Well, it doesn't say ain't in there, but I do. Yes. Jesus, the miracle worker, God himself in the flesh, said it's absolutely necessary that I get out of here, because then he can come and he will be near you and he will be in you. And that's part of the born again experience. This Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. So just think about that a minute and major again on expedition. It's expedition. That's a Ford, isn't it? Expedient, it's expedient, or it's necessary. As they would say in Mexico, absolutamente, necessary. Absolutely necessary. Yeah, Jesus is saying this. It's not some preacher on TV asking for a mandatory love gift of $1,000. It's Jesus saying, hey, I gotta get out of here. You got something better coming? Wow. That is mind-boggling. I believe that the Lord has prepared tomorrow for such a day as this that we're in right now. In the past approximate almost 12 months, we've talked, we've taught, and we've grasped as a group many subjects. Some of them are titled like the following, that I'm going to give you a list, and some would be found under a different title. Some of them would be embedded in a different title, but we've mentioned it. There are some things that I bring up quite a bit just in passing, because it's so important to what Holy Spirit's saying to us today. Some of these could be found. We started off preaching on forgiveness. We've talked about the vision beyond what we're experiencing in our lives today. Way out there, the days of tomorrow will be like. How much God is involved in today's world. Some people don't believe that because they don't know him. How to stand in the storms of life. And if we've learned anything, we should be learning that. That is so imperative to the environment today. Yes. We've learned about the gifts, the manifestations, and ministries of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Who God is and why Jesus. We've learned about who Christ is in us. We've learned how to better to pray. We have learned the importance of evangelism, the importance of discipleship, the importance of sharing the word. The importance of recognizing the larger body of Jesus Christ. We ain't the only ones. The importance of daily scripture living. We're not the only ones, but not everyone that comes with the name of Christ is a genuine Christian. And there are many people that are genuine Christians that haven't had their mind transformed. The Bible calls them unlearned because they haven't had their mind renewed to the Word of God. So they're living in the one-fold reproduction rather than the 30, 60, 100. We've learned the importance of personal worship during the week, the importance of discipleship, the importance of recognizing the larger body of Christ, the importance of sharing the word. We are a three-part being, and we learned how that affects understanding our daily lives and how we live. We've learned his power and ability in us, about being prepared, about the need for us to reach out to others, giving to others, living Christianity rather than just trying to apply it, living it. Some of those were actual topics, and like I said, some of them were embedded in other topics. Some of them were standalone, some of them were series. But they're biblical truths that the Lord has intended us to have, and especially at this time, because those are the ones that the Holy Spirit is bringing to the surface for us to unravel and to be able to share effectively and to be able to become doers of the word, not hearers only. That's what it's about, living from the tree of life. However, here's the deal. This was all intentional, by the way, by the Holy Spirit in John 16:7. It's expedient. I want you to know it's expedient that I left because I sent the Spirit. He came forth from the Father, came forth from the Son, and he's here today preparing us and leading us for today and taking us in more preparation for the future. We have a purpose. We have a plan. You are important to the plan of God in 2021. I cannot say that I knew all this almost a year ago. I didn't. I was taking it day by day, week by week, month by month, series by series. But Holy Spirit knew it. He knew what he was doing. God knows. And if we listen, we will get to where he wants us to be. Jesus, let me think about this. Let me say this. Think about the illogical things that are happening in the world around us today, especially in our own country. But the world elsewhere, literally around the globe, the same kind of things are going on. Jesus has prepared us for the things to come. What it is here today and what it when it sticks its ugly head up, he's prepared us for that. He says, be of good cheer because I have overcome. And he lives where? I can't hear you. He lives in me. Yes. He lives in me, glory to God. Wow. He lives in me. And he walks in me and he talks in me along life's narrow way. Some of you hadn't heard that before. It's an old hymn. But it's true. He walks in me. He talks in me. And life's narrow way is the way to go. There's a broad way if you want to go that way. But there's a narrow way. And few be that choose it. Oh, it's my choice. I'm not a puppet on the ends of his strings. I have my free will. I can be stupid if I want to be. I should say ignorant. Ignorant of what God wants to do. God forbid that he died and bled on the cross. Laid in the tomb for 3 days physically. Spiritually, he was taken away from the Father for 3 days. But he rose again. And he sent Holy Spirit to us today. Hallelujah. Jesus warns many times in the book of Revelation. In fact, 7 times. Once to each of the churches mentioned in only chapters 2 and 3. If you've never read the book of Revelation, if you do anything, read the first 3 chapters of Revelation. chapters 2 and 3, he speaks to 7 different churches. Now, some people will say, well, that's the dispensation that you're in. There's different churches at different times. No, it's not. There's types and shadows of every church today that's on the face of this earth in those 7 churches. He warns us. He doesn't want us ignorant. He doesn't want us without knowledge of what's happening. And I'm going to go through these verses fairly fast, but you may want to write down the verses and or the name of the church as I read these to you, because this is really important. Listen for 3 words in each of these scripture references that I'm going to give you. Listen for the word ear. Listen for the word spirit, and this is talking about Holy Spirit. And listen for the word overcome or overcomes. Ear, spirit, Holy Spirit, and overcome. Because you'll find them on all 7 churches. Revelation 2:7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. Revelation 2:11. That was the church in Ephesus we started out with. This is the church of Smyrna. He who has an ear, spiritual ears, not physical, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Plural, churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. No way. The second death, by the way, is the death he talks about before the great white throne of judgment, when people are passed into eternal damnation. It won't affect you. It will not affect you as a born-again Christian. You'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne of judgment. The judgment seat of Christ is there to get your rewards. 1 reward, 1,000 rewards, whatever it is. That's a good thing, because you'll find out why you're getting what. But the great white throne of judgment, I don't want to be there. No. Unfortunately, that's for people who have not made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life in this life. Because this life is a testing place. It's where we make determination whether we're going to live with God forever or without God forever. Pergamum, Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name on it, known only to him who receives it. That's pretty cool. I'm giving me a little white rock. It's going to have my new name on it, and you can't see it. You can't see it. It's for me. You're going to have one too, if you know Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The 4th church, Thyatira, Revelation 2:26. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. Wow. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now see, this stuff can be really, really, really great, or it can be really, 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 really bad, depending on which side of eternity you're on. And by the way, the Bible says distinctly, when we are born again, we have passed from death to life. At that moment, You don't die and then be born again, like the Freemasonry Encyclopedia talks about. You don't go to heaven and become something different than what you are now, like Hinduism or some of these other things say. You don't become a god over planets, like the Mormons say. People with good intentions, as the old saying goes, can pave the road to hell. And God will not make you live with him forever unless you choose life. We have an opportunity to choose life, or we can choose death. And we have an opportunity to eat of life every day, praise God. Revelation 3:5, Sardis. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Philadelphia, unlike one quote-unquote Christian cult who has Philadelphia in their name, God is not a dual being, Father and Son only. They probably have as good intentions as anybody, but they're living a false doctrine. And he warns the church of Philadelphia and gives them some encouragement. Every one of these can be encouragement if we have that mindset. Revelation 3:12, he who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down and out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, I'm not reading all the junk about the churches, okay? The emphasis here is listening to the Holy Spirit, what he shows you, what he tells you, how he leads you, what he teaches you. He's promised to teach us everything that is to come, okay? He will. He keeps his promise. He doesn't forget like some of us do. I won't go any further on that. The idea here is, are we in Christ? Is Christ in us? And will he do what he said he would do? Yes, he most assuredly will. Do we have ears to hear what the Spirit says? Because he will allow us, empower us, make us overcomers. And the last one, Laodicea, to him who overcomes. How many of you are an overcomer today? In Jesus, right? Okay. I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. The one that you were told you'd never amount to anything, or you were told by your parents you can't ever have those kind of things, you can't ever do that, you don't have the education, you don't have the ability, you don't have this, you don't have that. You've been told that and lied and lied and lied to, and some of us have received some of those things. But we need to dump them in the sewer. We need to accept what Jesus says about us, because he's God. Not that teacher or that parent or that bully in the neighborhood. They don't know what the blank they're talking about. You are accepted in Jesus. You are accepted when you make him the Lord, the boss of your life. You're accepted. He doesn't say, hold it, I've got a questionnaire here for you. You join a lot of churches, you're going to have to answer a bunch of questions. But Jesus already knows the answer. He's not going to quiz you on anything like that. He's going to say, come on in, you good and faithful servant. He's going to tell me when I lay down at night and sleep and I've messed something up during the day, that everything's going to be okay. And I just think, you know, I could hear Jesus sometimes saying, Father, did you hear what Dan did? He said, he fell on his face today. And I just, Father, I just love him. And it wasn't all that bad. I mean, you know, he just needs a little help. And I gave it to him. And Daddy God goes, amen, son. What did I do to deserve that? Not one iota. I released my faith in him, but I did nothing to deserve it. I did absolutely nothing to earn it. My good works stink. I do living works because that's what he's told me to do, but it's not earning favor with God. It's expressing who Jesus in me is. Being a witness to the world. Being like him. That's the reason I'll say I'm wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up with Jesus. And I ain't letting go. But more importantly, even if I try to let go, he won't. He'll never, 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 Hebrews 13:8, leave me or forsake me. You say, what it only says, never leave you nor forsake you. Actually, in the Greek, it's extended. It actually has the connotation, never, never, never. And I sometimes say, never, 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 never. Because he won't. I am secure. All I have to do is hang on to him. Continue to believe him. Worship him. Yeah, my worship won't get me there, but my worship will get me there as far as my standing in him, because it opens my mind up to see, oh my gosh, Jesus loves me this much? The more I worship him, the more I know him. The more I know him, I know what he thinks about me. And if there's something that I need to know, you know what? He'll tell me. He'll discipline you. He'll discipline me. I've had that a few times, about every day. Yep, spiritual backside's a little red sometimes. But that's okay, that's good. It's good to be corrected when you're wrong. If you got a 1-inch green thing hanging out of your nose, it's good for somebody to tell you before you start walking down the street. So, that's okay. It's okay if your fly's unzipped as long as somebody helps you tell you that. Be like one particular pastor. He said, it wasn't so bad that my fly was unzipped, but when I was up there on the podium, my white shirt tail was hanging through it. It's pretty bad. Folks, there's going to be things in this life. Which things move you? Which things affect you? Which things put pressure on you or make you change your mind? What is the source of those things? Is it the deceitfulness of riches? The lust of other things? The cares of this world? Those are all wrong. But Holy Spirit will go, hey, Kelly. Kelly, just a second here. I'll talk to you. And Kelly goes, yes, sir. Right? You better. I'll kick your booty if you don't. Yeah, it's probably a little nicer than mine. It has padding. Praise God. But that's what we're for. to help each other, to encourage each other, give each other, help build their confidence in the Word of God and what Jesus says. Oh my gosh. This world is so messed up. I'm not going to get into a lot of stuff here. I don't have that many hours or days. Do you realize that the new Miss Nevada is a transgendered person? And I don't want to say she, as I guess I'm supposed to. You can take that and shove it. I feel for her because she was abused sexually and otherwise growing up. She claims that. But she says, you know, it's all about me and who I am now. That's her problem. That's the problem with people today. I'm so good. Do you know? Adam and Eve thought the same thing. They wanted to eat that fruit so they could be as God. And that tree of the knowledge of good and evil is still around today. And remember, there's two big limbs off of it. There's the limb of the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. And some things say they're good. There are so many different movements today that have good names to them, and they sound good, and they sound like somebody's trying to help, and they're full of the devil. You don't kill people and burn innocent places down to help people or to make a point. There's a proper way to do that, and that needs to be done, and I'm all for it. I stand with you on those things. But when you just start destroying lives and people and their businesses they've had for 20 or 30 years who are innocent people, that accomplishes zero. That takes and turns it back the other way. They're taking down statues now. I can't remember, Georgia, South Carolina, somewhere over there, of some of the Confederate soldiers. I tell you what, by destroying, this one person said, now we're going to have the truth. No, when you destroy history, you don't get truth. We need to know the good, the bad, and the ugly. We need to understand what happened before us and change the things and do them rightfully. And when people's eyes are opened up, they'll want to do something about it. One of my mentors says the only thing we learn about history is we don't learn from history. Well, how can you learn from history if you destroy the stuff that was bad? This hadn't been a perfect country, but it's always been willing to change and always willing to go on and always willing to accept people. You know, the fact of it is, we don't know the difference, though, between being born with all certain inalienable rights given to us by our Creator. You're born with rights, and you have every right to those rights in this country. It doesn't make any difference who you are. It doesn't make any difference the physical condition you came into. That is, you're born equal according to our Constitution. Nobody is above another. If I'm driving a Lamborghini, Jaden, if I'm driving a Lamborghini and somebody else is driving a 40-year-old Yugo, and he comes to stop sign, four-way stop before I do, guess who gets to go first? He does. That doesn't make me any better than he is. It just makes me having a little more money and being stupid to put all my money in the car. Well, it would be stupid for me to try to do that. I'd be living in it for sure. Till I had to pay my gas bill, I'd probably lose it then. But behaviors need to have laws. The Bible's through justice, laws. There need to be laws. They need to be enforced. We need to respect them. And if they're bad, we need to change them. If the people that are in place are bad, we need to change them. The people rejoice when the righteous rule, the Bible tells us. So let's make sure that we're taking full benefit of voting and all those other things. But first of all, vote on your knees. I'm not getting political. I'm staying on the Bible. There are so many different things happening in the world today. There's a pocket here and a pocket there and a pocket here and a pocket there. And all these different pockets are aimed by the same spirit to destroy this country and destroy for what it does stand for. And how can we change something for good if we're not willing to acknowledge it in a peaceful way and say, look, that was wrong. Let's change it. Don't burn my house down and expect me to want to change a law. I want to enforce the law. It says, thou shalt not burn somebody else's house down. The world needs Jesus. That's the issue. Because if we're married to Jesus, the bride of Christ, we're in the same boat together. And we need to acknowledge that. And even for the people who are not Christians, we need to acknowledge that they have the right not to be a Christian. I'm so impressed by some of these apologists when they have debates against Muslims or atheists. They treat them with respect. And then they show them the Word of God. And that's what we need to do with each other, first in Christ and those others. How do we expect somebody to become a Christian if we're sitting over here bickering and moaning and complaining and throwing stuff at each other and talking about how bad this particular pastor is or preacher or television evangelist? Folks, there's something better than just griping about somebody else's stuff. I want to exalt the Lord. He alone is worthy. And if I exalt Him in my actions and in my words, praise God, then I'm exalting Him. Go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. 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 It's the Christians that changed child slavery in England back in the 19th century. It's Christians who helped get slavery out of this country because they stood up for what's right. It's Christians who have changed the world to be as good as it is, even though there's still plenty of evil out there. It wouldn't be anywhere close to where it is without the influence of the body of Christ. It's Christians that we support in Kenya that are getting the good news out to poor people, people who are neglected, people who have an issue or a problem in their lives. These people preach and teach and give the life of God to them. It's people that we support in countries like India, where it's plagued with Hinduism. The truth comes forth in love. That transgender person, Miss Nevada, we need to love her, or it, or him, or whatever. We need to love in truth, not just blindly accept what they're doing, but to be able to accept them as valuable as a person. Folks, I know this is basic Christianity, but can we walk in basic Christianity? How about you on YouTube? Can you walk in it? He'll make you able. He will make you able. I see a new world, and I may be wrong. There's a lot of people that believe one of several things right now. Some people believe that we're going to have the third or the fourth, whichever way you want to count it, great awakening. I choose to believe that. That's what I would love to see. I want to see it. But there's other people that say that different things would happen, and maybe they're right. You know, some people actually use the Bible to say certain things, and there's enough in there you can kind of accent what you want to in the end times because it hadn't happened yet. But some people say that this is the start of the Great Tribulation. There's others that say the seven-year Great Tribulation, this is a prequel to it. It's just right around the corner, and this is leading up to it, and the Antichrist and all those kind of things. Hey, they could be right. I'm not going to tell you that they're wrong. I'm going to tell you to listen to the Holy Spirit for your life and family, your marriage, your kids, your grandkids, or whoever that you love and care for, your boss or your employees, or whoever it is, that you listen to Holy Spirit to know how to respond and to respond with the fruit of the Spirit in you, to respond in a loving, caring way that every person is accepted with Jesus Christ. But will you accept Him? He's already accepted you as far as loving you and caring for you. And when you're in Christ and when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're praying and you're worshiping, and you're walking with God, He's going to speak to you. It's going to be a joy. Well, I never thought of that. And He's going to lead you and guide you and teach you and train you and equip you and mentor you and make you everything that you never thought you could be. That's my Jesus. You're going to be able to have the love and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering and the gentleness and the goodness and the faith and the meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. All those things. You can live the fullness of life. I don't care if you got a buck in your pocket or not. You can live the overcoming life because He said He has overcome. And you can too. We need to love the people in the world. For God so loved the world? That's almost got a question in it to me. Yeah, think about that verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave Jesus for the lost. He didn't give Him for the perfect. He didn't give Jesus for those that are squeaky clean, whatever that is, whatever they may think they are. He sent Jesus for the lost. I was once lost. Praise God. Now I'm found. I was once dead, but now I'm alive. I was blind, but now I can see. I was deaf, but now I can hear. I had a stony heart. Now I've got a heart of flesh. That's what He does in the new creation. And He brings us into the family, and He changes the diapers. Then He feeds us from the bottle, and then He lets us walk, start toddling. Oops, fell. That's okay. Get back up. You're going to be okay. And we fall, and we fall, and He gets us up, gets us up, gets us up. And then we start growing as we grab a hold of His word, and we spend time with Him. And then it's like, hey, looky here, Daddy, I'm getting some muscles. Yeah, I'm growing in Him. No longer conformed to this world, but I'm transformed by the renewing of our mind so I can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will, the 30-fold, the 60-fold, the 100-fold return, praise God, to glorify Him, to bring Him into light in my life. Oh, folks, this gospel is better than we think it is, better than we know it is, but I'm still like a little dog. Saw a video the other day, this little dog, man, he's a little bitty dog, he's making the biggest hole. His feet were going 90 miles an hour. He's just digging a hole. Golly, that's the way I want to be. I want to dig out the truth, dig out the things, that hidden manna that we read about a few minutes ago. Praise God. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir, okay, but I would like you to wake up in any area that you're a little sleepy in, a little groggy in. The verses in Revelation show the importance of listening to the Holy Spirit. For some, it's extremely encouraging. For some, it's rather scary. And for others, it's a wake-up call. Which one are you? Personally, I choose life. That's rather encouraging. I'm going to give you an opportunity to dump some garbage here in a minute. I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, as boss, that you can make that decision. Are you listening to me on YouTube? This is important. You haven't heard anybody say it this way, okay? This is not just surrendering to the Lord. This is not getting right with the Lord. It's not making my peace with the Lord. although it includes all of those things. But it can be, and it's often construed as one of those things. But it's so much more than that. It's not like I have to, it's that I get to make the most important decision of my life, choose life, choose Jesus. And I submit to him because his will for me is so much better than my will for me will ever be. My will for me stinks. It's carnal, it's short, it's small, it's little. His will for me is invigorating. It builds me up so I can help build up other people. It puts me up in a position. How does it do it? By bringing me into humility. You see, when I realize I'm not so smart, but my best friend knows everything, why should I try to rely on self-help when I can have grace in my life? His grace. So you today, here in this auditorium, there on YouTube, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to make the most important decision of your life that you've ever made. And it's to make sure that you're in Christ Jesus, that you're born again, that you're a new creation in him. To make sure that you know for sure, if God forbid something happened to you tonight and you're run over by a dump truck or whatever, that you would wake up in heaven rather than hell. You have this opportunity. You're without excuse. The King of Kings is tugging at your heart to join the family. And if you are a born-again Christian, but there's some things you need to dump today, you need to dump them today. And he will receive all the stuff and throw it in his sea of forgetfulness. Would you please bow with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity to become a Christian. Thank you so much to be able to dump the stuff that's held me back from the relationship with you that I need to be. I'm here today, God, to make a decision that you are my boss. You are my Lord. I know that God the Father raised you from the dead. I know that you live in heaven at the right hand of God the Father, that you are God himself who came for me, died for me, but came back to life for me. And that your plan for me is greater and better and more fantastic and full of love and joy and peace than my plan for me could ever be. I'm not a hot rod. I need help. I need you. I am sorry for my sins, and I want to repent. If that's you today, just right where you are, maybe you're in your living room, your bedroom, you're in your office, you're in this auditorium, I invite you to receive Jesus Christ. And we're all going to pray this prayer together to reaffirm our confession of Jesus Christ. Would you please join me? Just say something like this. Father in heaven, I thank you for sending Jesus for me, a sinner, so that I could dump my sins, dump my transgressions, get rid of my past, the things that I did wrongly. I want to make a change, but I can't do it. I need your help. Jesus, would you come and take over my life? I confess you as the boss, and I want to obey you, and I need your help to be able to do that. Change my heart and place your spirit within me. You'll get all the glory and praise and honor. And I thank you for life eternal by the blood-bought payment, Jesus dying on the cross, and the proof of his resurrection power that did everything necessary for me to be a Christian. All I have to do is believe and say thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. Brother Kelly.